Genesis 32, verse 24, and the Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said," this would be Jacob talking, "'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the evening. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this evening. Lord, I need you now. I need your help this evening. I need you to guide my words, my thoughts, lots of things that can distract us here in a church service. Lord, the devil would like for us to walk away having not accomplished what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in my heart and in the hearts of those here. And as a church family, we need you this evening. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. Lord, I pray that we would use the message tonight to energize us in the matter of prayer, as we see Jacob here as well. And this story that we are sometimes familiar with, but Lord, often we ignore sometimes the things of the Bible that can help us through our week. And I pray for this Sunday. I pray for a lot of the things that the devil will try to stop. Help us to not let him do that. And help us to serve you and to trust you this week more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. The message title this evening is Pinned Down or Prevailing Prayer. Pinned Down or Prevailing Prayer. Now, I am not a wrestler by the sport of wrestling, all right? Two guys sitting there hugging each other, rolling around on a mat, just doesn't sound all that fun, all right? I'd rather put on a helmet and maybe hit the guy or shoot a basketball or something like that, okay? But he just came and visited us, Ramos, R-A-M-O-S, Brother Ramos from up north in Indiana there. He loves this stuff, all right? This is one of his favorites. So as I sat here and read about the wrestling match or a grappling match, I think about him and some of the things he's mentioned. And a guy like him would have probably the world's best illustration here, okay? I, on the other hand, this tonight, do not, all right? In fact, I did have one illustration that I thought about doing, and maybe we'll, with all these boys in the front row, maybe we'll do it. All right. You want to see some wrestling tonight at church? Okay. You didn't know you were coming for a world, Baptist wrestling conference. No, I don't know. BWC. I don't know. All right. We're just making this up as we go. But you guys want to wrestle? Raise your hand if you want to wrestle. All right. Nobody? Brock. Yes. All right. All right, maybe not. They heard the whole touch the hollow of his thigh thing, and they were like, "No way, man! I don't want to do that." No. Here's what I think of, and we'll get back to this in a minute. I guess I think of maybe the only kind of wrestling that I think almost every guy has probably done, if you have a brother, is that game of mercy. How many of you ever know it? You know what that is? All right, you grab his hands like this, and it's not loving. All right, it's how far can you bend the other guy's hands until he says. All right, that's kind of what I picture right here. I know that's probably not what happened, all right? Maybe we will try it, all right? We'll see. But Genesis chapter 32, so that's the end of the chapter, and that's the result of the story. But tonight we're going to look at really quickly the life of Jacob, because go ahead and turn back or look back wherever it is to verse 1. We pick up in this man's story, and if you remember the patriarchs, the children of Israel, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? And Abraham, of course, he has his things that happened to him. Isaac has things that happened to him. One of them is Jacob, all right? And Jacob's story is interesting. But this chapter, If I had to pick it, it's probably the most important time in the life of Jacob. And probably as a Christian, this is the chapter I can learn the most about Jacob. All right? No matter what I might think of him. And by the way, what Jacob are we talking about? Let me remind you who Jacob is, okay? He's the supplanter. That's what his name means. It's supplanter, meaning to take and to lie about, okay? To take the place of, all right? The one who helped his mom trick his dad, okay? He circumvents authority. He weaseled his brother out of a birthright. He worked for a wily father-in-law, all right? For the girl of his dreams, he worked for her. And then the girl of his dreams steals a statue and gets her dad mad at him. And this is just, the guy has a rough life, all right? Oh, by the way, he worked for the girl of his dreams and got the girl sister. And then he had to work for her more. And so it's just a complicated story. So he ends up with two wives. One of them steal, you know. And so the guy's got a rough family, all right? Why are we mentioning that? Well, because his family's in this story. They're not mentioned, but they are right here. And if you're not careful, we gloss over all of that. All right, so Jacob has a little bit of a hard life, okay? God promised to Abraham that Abraham would become a great nation, okay? And then, of course, Isaac. Abraham has Isaac. That's a wonderful story. God promises through then Abraham, then Isaac, that Isaac would become a great nation. And then he has two boys who fight all the time, all right? And then we have the story of Jacob, of course, who kind of usurps. You say, Brother Young, how could, I thought Jacob was the chosen one. I thought this was going to work out. You know, if we would just let God carry out some of the plans he has instead of us trying to do it, it would have been a lot better, okay? Esau could have had the firstborn status and Jacob still could have been the blessed nation. They could have both had that. And they chose to kind of mess this up, okay? But Esau, why are we mentioning him? Because right here in chapter 32, if you have a Bible that mentions anything, you might see the name Esau coming up. Esau is the next of Jacob's worries, okay? To give you some context, Jacob just left his father-in-law, okay? He got married. He got married to Leah, got married to Rachel. He's leaving his father-in-law. There was a little bit of trouble there. All right, Rachel does the whole stealing the idols of Laban thing. And Laban comes after Jacob. Basically, Jacob's a little bit upset at this. There's a little bit of a fear here. Okay, Laban's not super happy with Jacob. They end up, of course, if you read the chapter before, right at the end even, it says that they do the little, basically a peace offering, basically an altar moment. They get themselves right and nobody dies. That's a good day. All right. So then Jacob just came out of a fearful situation where something could have happened and it didn't. And here he is in the middle and he's trying to go where God wants him to go. He's trying to do God's will. This is where I can start to relate to Jacob. Trying to do what is right. Trying to do what God's told me to do. Even if I've already messed up. By the way, I think we all relate to Jacob more than we think. Okay? We all have messed up somehow. It may not be the same things he did, but we've made mistakes. And yet, he's trying to do right, and he finds himself in a big worry here. And so we're going to kind of go through really quick the chapter to see what kind of state Jacob is in before this wrestling match happens. Okay, let's look at it right here, verse number 1. And Jacob went on his way, so he left his father-in-law. I love this verse. And the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. All right, I think I got that right. Mahanaim. You say, Brother Young, why should we study Jacob? Well, Jacob, as much as he has all these faults, if you read his life, he has a unique connection with God and God's angels and God's messengers that most of us have never experienced. All right? Even his dad, even Abraham and even Isaac, didn't have the same things that Jacob got to see. Jacob was the one, if you remember, he fell asleep and he saw that ladder going to and from heaven with the angels ascending up and down. He gets to wrestle with an angel we're going to see in just a minute. But right here, as Jacob is doing God's will, because he is doing God's will, he sees a picture from the Lord or a vision. I don't know how this played out, but the Bible says he went on his way and the angels of God met him. Okay, you say, well, that's just a couple angels. They said, hi. No way. All right, did you read the next verse? And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's what? Host. Okay, Jacob saw himself surrounded and protected by God. Why is that important? Well, because he's getting ready to fear for his life again. He's getting ready to go through a hardship. It's kind of interesting, but for us, That name, Mahanaim or whatever, it means two camps, two hosts. All right? And I guess just to stop and remind us as Christians, when we're doing God's will, then there are two groups of people in this story. All right? There's what we can see, and there's what we can't see. When you're doing God's will, there's what you can see, and then there's what you can't see. And sometimes we're so afraid of the thing we can see, we forget about who we can't see. And we're so focused on the things around us that we forget that if you're in God's will, that's where we say that all the time, right? The safest place is to be in the center of God's will. Hey, young person, listen. If you're doing what is right, you can't always see it, but surrounding you, God's got it, all right? That host, that heavenly host, I think it would be super neat. I just want you to think about this. Maybe it's good we do this before Easter Sunday, before Resurrection Sunday. Do you know on Sunday in here, there's going to be two hosts of people. There's going to be the physical people that we get into this building, and then somewhere, if we're doing right, around this building, there's going to be the spiritual host. Yes, sir. You say, are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm not kidding you. We're not trying to be spooky. And by the way, the devil's angels and stuff are a part of that too. Right? The devil is trying to get people to not come to church, and we're trying to get people to come to church. But as soon as we bring them in here, there's an invisible group around this thing. If you're praying about it, and if you're doing God's will, and if your classroom has been anointed with prayer that says, Lord, I want to preach the gospel, I want to give the gospel, I want Resurrection Sunday to be glorifying to you, then I can guarantee you, you walk into that classroom, you know what's going to be invisible that you can't see? His protection around it. His protection. But by the way, if you're not in God's will, then that protection is not there. You're not there. You're not in the right spot. All right? The protection's over here and you're over here. All right? So don't be surprised as a Christian, man alive. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm just trying to do right. Well, are you? I mean, God gives you some things to do. And so if you're over here doing something you shouldn't, then don't be surprised when you fall or fail or something goes wrong, because the protection's over there. And Jacob lived a lot of his life that way, outside of the protection of God's will. And so right here, it's super encouraging to see that right away at this beginning, we find the protection of God is still there. But as soon as he sees that host, what happens? Verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. And he basically says, you need to speak to my brother, all right? He's going to kill me if he finds me, okay? And he gives him kind of an update. We're going to break it down and not read every verse. But verse 4 and 5 is basically a message to him saying, hey, Esau, I've reached a good point in my life. I'm successful. I am doing what's right. I'm serving the Lord, and because of it, I've been blessed. Right? He kind of gives it's not a mean message, it's just a simple communication. But if you look at verse 6 and 7, or verse 6, we see the return answer from his brother. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and he said, hi. Is that what he said? No. He didn't even give an answer. He doesn't even give a return message. He says, we came to thy brother Esau, and he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. All right? That's in those days. By the way, even in these days, 400 guys with guns can do a lot of damage. All right? These are 400 guys with swords and horses, and they're riding to meet Jacob. No matter how many people Jacob has, no matter how, he's got sheep, he's got kids, he's got families, and this is not where he wants to be. This is not good. And you can see the response. Ready? Verse 7. Jacob was greatly, what?
Afraid.
Fear shows up on Jacob's face. Okay, this is the guy that's doing right. He's supposed to be doing God's will. He just saw the host. And so I'm not knocking him at all. Guess what? Even in God's will, there's times where you're going to be scared of something. There's something's going to happen to you in your life and in my life that's going to shake you a bit. Okay? But it's better to be shaken with that around you than to be shaken over here with no protection, okay? And so here we go. So what does he do? He divides the people that was with him and the flocks and the hamels in two bands. And he says, if Esau comes, maybe he'll kill this one and not this one, all right? And that's his fear reacting. Now, notice this next section here. And here's the two things we're going to learn tonight. We talked about the title of the message is Pinned Down or Prevailing Prayer. Jacob, in this one chapter, has two times where he deals with God in a matter of prayer that I, as a Christian, should pay attention to. Okay? Here's the first one. So he's afraid, and then he prays. This is how most of us pray, by the way. Okay? We get something happens, so we what? Pray. A problem comes, so we pray about it. A fear hits us, so we pray about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I read a couple different commentaries, and one guy kind of seemed like this was negative. All right, and I understand what they're saying when you read the rest of the passage. But you know what? This is a pretty good prayer. All right, let's look at it. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which thou hast said unto me, return into my country and to the kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I love this statement. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, for the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. You know what is interesting about this prayer? One guy broke it down this way. He's afraid, but you know what? Listen, he does the right thing. First of all, he tells God, God, you promised to help me. All right? Hey, folks, listen, first of all, sometimes there's some promises in the Bible we have to claim. We got to know it. All right? When you're afraid, when my kids are afraid, who do they call first? Me or my wife. All right? Usually it's mommy. All right? Okay? But you know what? And there is a difference between her and I, though. Okay? If there's a true fear that they don't feel like mom can handle, because mom can handle a lot. All right, mom handles a lot of trouble and diaper changes and boo-boos. All right, but I'm talking if they're scared, who do they come see? Dad. All right, dad, or a parent or a grandparent. I understand that there's different people in that capacity, but the lesson is pretty simple. When you're really scared, you go to God. You should. All right, and then by the way, the first thing you should do in this prayer, I like how he approaches it. This is our lesson, because see, sometimes we go to God and just say, oh, help me, I'm scared. All right, and sometimes he looks at you and says, I wish I can, but the way you handle it isn't great. So, Christian, how should we handle it? If we have a fear or a problem, well, look at what Jacob did. You ready? He first of all says, God, you promised you'd be with me. God, you promised. By the way, go read your Bible. How many verses? You know what you ought to do when you have a problem? You need some Bible verses. All right? You need some ammunition that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right, and listen, hey parents, as a parent, I teach my kids this. You see, they're going to get scared of the dark, and they're going to get scared of the storm. And so I take something like, you know, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's a simple little phrase, and I taught my kids that from when they're little, so that when they're afraid, they don't have to say, Dad, help me, it's storming outside. I can't stop the storm. I can't make it light. They got to go to bed. All right, I don't want them all sleeping in my bed. I got 7 kids. Go back to bed. But you know what? That would be rude of me as a dad to say it that way to every kid. Instead, I talk to him and I say, you know what? God loves you. And you know what? What time I am afraid, I will trust in. Are you afraid? Yeah. Dad, I'm a little scared. All right, let me teach you how to do that. Talk to the Lord. Talk to God. All right. Hey, adults, we can't just forget that, okay? All right. Yeah, sometimes we do. We go straight to point 3 and go, whine, whine, whine. Okay, listen, stop. Let's stop first and say, God, I just need you. I need your help. All right, learn from Jacob, okay? Then the next thing he says is he basically says, first he claims that, and then he makes a confession. Look what he says in verse 10. He basically admits, God, I need you because you promised me you'd be there. And number 2, I'm not worthy of any help, all right? Lord, I know I'm not worth much, but I need your help, okay? Hey, you know what? It would be nice if we did that in prayer. Whenever we pray, it'd be nice if we sometimes said, God, I need you. You promised me, remember? And also, I'm kind of worthless, all right? I can't do this by myself. You don't have to beat yourself up, but the truth is, he's pretty powerful and you're not. So, and we don't deserve a whole lot. We're pretty, did you see Jacob's life? He's not the most perfect guy out there, all right? And so, listen, that's encouraging to me as a Christian, because I know I don't have to be perfect to get a hold of God. I can get a hold of God even if I'm not perfect. I can come to God and say, God, I am sorry. All right? I don't deserve this, but would you forgive me again? That's a good start. And then number 3, look what he says. He then pleads for help and deliverance. And so you say, Brother Young, did God deliver him? No. Ready? Look what happens. Verse 13. He says he lodged there that same night. He goes to sleep. He wakes up the next day, and Esau's not coming. That's not how it worked, all right? If you read the rest of the story, for the next 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, all the way down to 22, you know what he does? He has to make a plan. He has to play a plan. So let's review. Ready? Jacob is in a bad spot. He comes to the right will of God. He's doing what's right. He sees God's protection. He's in the right spot. He's where he's supposed to be. And then a new trouble comes. As soon as the new trouble comes, what does he do? Well, first he freaks out. Then he prays. He says, God, I can't do this. I need you. You promised. And I need your help. Then he goes to sleep, wakes up the next day, and as far as he knows, what he prayed last night, by the way, listen, Christian, whatever you prayed last night, if God knows it and you were sincere and you're in the will of God, there's no reason to think he didn't hear you. There's no reason to think he's not going to answer. It just might not be when you want it to be. And so he wakes up the next day and he sits there and shakes and wonders if God's going to help him. No. Instead, he says, okay, we're going to keep doing God's will. We're going to keep doing. Hey, listen, when trial comes in to your life, the best thing to do is what? Keep doing God's will. Keep doing God's will. God still told him to cross over, so now it's going to take some faith for him. All right? He walks by faith, not sight, even though he just saw some angels. Okay? Because a lot of times the seeing stuff, the blessings of God, the protection of God, you'll see it when there's peace. I wrote it down somewhere. Don't have time to go do it. But there was a guy that said basically, you know, and it kind of applies, we prepare for war in times of peace. You remember that kind of statement? But same thing spiritually. In your spiritual life, there will be encouraging days and wonderful Sundays and joyful times when you read the Bible and good days. But you know what? Usually that's when you see a lot of God's promises and protection. So that when the bad day comes, at least right at the beginning of those bad days, you usually don't see God's hand of protection. You know why? He's watching to see if you'll remember what he's already done. And so that's a good challenge as a Christian. Listen, I got to feed on God's word. Why do you have to have a walk with God? I'm scared not to have a walk with God. Because if I don't have a walk with God, you know what's going to happen? Something's going to happen in my life that scares me and shakes me to my core. And I'm going to have days, and I'll tell you one of these days in my life. You ready? There was a day I didn't have the walk with God I have now. And the reason why I didn't have it, and God had to bring something into my life to shake me, to get me to have the walk with him that we should have. All right, you say, well, when are those days? Well, when somebody you love goes to the hospital, all right? When your little daughter, who's only a year and a half, is on a tube, and she might die and never come off of it. And you say, did that happen? Yeah, not very long, and I'm glad God brought us through it. But I can remember that day as being a time for me and my wife where we got together and said, whoa, if we were ever lacking in a walk with God, we got to get this thing fixed today. Because in times of fear, you will go, oh, Lord, please help me. And you know what? God's so good. And he's so merciful, and he comes in, and he helps you anyway. But you know what you should learn from that? You should look back and go, okay, all right, it's time we took this seriously, more serious. And by the way, this is the real convicting part of this message, all right? Jacob does exactly that. Jacob does exactly that. He makes a plan, and then let's look. Everybody go down to verse 22. So he's gone a whole day planning, and he sends all of his servants out. He sends servant number one with some camels, servant number two with some sheep, servant number three with some oxen. And they're all out there to try to stop, basically say, hey, brother, don't kill us. Hey, brother, don't kill us. Hey, brother, don't kill us. It's not what he said, but I mean, that's what he's doing. Look at verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons. And he passed over the brook, over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and he sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And then here's where we picked up. You ready? And Jacob was left alone. He had done everything he could. Now he's by himself. But I love this part about Jacob. And this is the part that I desire. And I hope I get you to want to desire that. You ready? See, because we do this all the time. We pray all the time when there's a problem, don't we? All right? We do everything Jacob's done so far. Almost all of us in here have prayed when there's trouble. You ready? But we don't always do what Jacob did, which was in this case, ready? He prevailed in his prayer. He did something a little extra special, okay? He's alone. One guy said the best praying is often done alone. My comparison here would be, I don't want to stay in the first section, all right? Let's read it. Ready? And when Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And you're going to find he's not just a man, is he? And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Here's some things we need to notice real quick before we get there. Number one, he's alone. Number two, I think we pray like Jacob in verse 9 through 12, but we don't wrestle with God like he did in verse 24 and 25. We lack the persistence that's needed to finish the task. I want to go away from just pleading prayer, and I would like to enter the realm of, you ready? Prevailing prayer. Okay? I don't want to live my Christian life, my entire, think about this, Christian life, pleading and saying, Lord, please, Lord, please. I need help. I need help. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is a good prayer. But I don't want to live my whole life there. I want to enter the realm of prevailing in prayer. And there are some things. Let me just challenge you. And this is the convicting. Jacob was a stubborn guy. All right? But his stubbornness had good and bad qualities. Bad qualities because he made a lot of mistakes with it. But good qualities because, you know what? It got him the end result that we find here. Ready? Notice this interaction. You ready? The angel kind of looks at him and says, where'd it go? He saw he prevailed not against him. Come on, are you serious? The angel's not going to beat him, all right? You know, of course God has the power. And of course God could answer your prayer the first time you ask it. And he could solve your problem for you. But you know what he wants to see? He wants to see if you and I will stick with it. If we'll stick with it. What are we doing this for, right? One guy said, the angel even gave him an excuse. Did you see that? The day is upon me. I need to go. All right? The angel doesn't need that excuse. Instead, you know what he's trying to do? There's two sides to that. Ready? Either there's the lesson that as a Christian, when we get on our knees and we pray and we pray and we pray and we're trying to prevail with God and say, Lord, please, I need this to happen. And if we just sit there and say, please, 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 you know what happens usually, right? We usually just get up and go about our day. And we miss the wrestling part with God. And so, you know what? And there is a lesson to be had there. Some people want to be spiritual to an ultimate degree. And then we say, I prevail in prayer and I'm going to stay here. Okay, listen, your life still has to go on. You still have to do what's right. I think the angel really was looking at him saying, hey, Jacob, day's coming. It means Esau's coming and your wife's out there. So we need to be done here. So there's that side of it, all right? There is a time in your prayer life where you have to just let it go and let God take care of it, okay? But there's the other side of it. I think that what for Jacob's case, you know what the angel was doing? What will distract Jacob? Will he quit? Will he stop praying about it? Hey, that's convicting. What have I stopped praying about that, whether it was God, whether it was just my flesh, whether it was a distraction of the devil, we could have seen an answer to prayer in, but I stopped praying about it. I stopped praying about it. And then I had to start the whole process over again. And the truth is, there are some things I know in my head and in my mind and things that you could think of in your mind. You think, man, what if I had prayed for that person more? Maybe they're passed away already. Maybe they can't be saved anymore. Maybe it's somebody like that. Maybe there's something tonight, a person you need to pray for that will come. You say, well, they would never come to church on Easter. That's not going to happen. No, no, no. Have you tried? Have you got on your knees before the Lord and said, Lord, please, this person. By the way, have you pleaded with that person? Because if you haven't, they're not going to come. All right? And so there's two sides to it. Real life has to happen. But I think sometimes that God is just trying to test us and say, well, what's going to distract Jacob? If I remind him of his wife and his kids, is he going to get distracted? No, he's not. Look what happens. Ready? He says, I will not. Read it. Ready? He goes, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And then he says it again, all right? And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he says, Jacob. Now, that's important because, you know what? Sometimes we're pretty selfish, and Jacob had to learn how to get his new name. And that's really the reason. Ready? Last one. Prevailing prayer. If you want to prevail in prayer, ready? It'll change who you are. It'll change who you are. And you know what? Ready? Convicting. That's convicting. Because the reason I don't prevail in prayer is because I don't want to change who I am. The reason we don't, as Christians, want to prevail in prayer is because we don't want to change who we are. We're comfortable. Well, my bus route, I don't need to. It's comfortable. Well, my Sunday school classes, comfortable. Well, if I do that, I'm going to have to change this, and I don't want to change this. Hey, listen, you know what you are? You know what I am then? We're pleading Christians, but we're not prevailing Christians. We're saying, oh, God, please help me, please help me. Okay, thanks. And then as soon as he does, you go back to comfortable again. And the truth is, Brother Young's convicted. I'm just preaching from me because I'm convicted. I need to change that type of prayer life in my life. I need to not just say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Appreciate it. I need to go beyond that. You need to go beyond that. What area is it that God's touching your heart right now that you need to work at prevailing in that prayer, and it can affect your life? It'll change your ministry. It could change your marriage. It could change your family. It will change you. Because you know what happens to him? As soon as he said, I will not go unless you bless me, he asked him, what's your name? Jacob said, I am who I am. Okay, by the way, if you go back and study his story, he lied about that last time. Last time somebody asked him his name, he lied about it. So this time he didn't lie. He said, God, angel, I'm Jacob. That's me. I'm a cheat. I'm a shifty guy at times. But I'm not in this area. No way. You're going to bless me. Please bless me. And you know what? The guy does. He goes, no, you're not going to be Jacob anymore. Ready? Here's the blessing. Changes who he is the rest of his life. His name changes. He becomes Israel, the prince with God. And he even says, for as a prince, thou hast power with God. You know what? There's some Christians in here, and you could change your church if you had a little bit more what? Power with God. You could change your marriage. I could change my marriage. I could change my family if I had the right power with God. Oh, we have power with God. You're right. God can answer a lot of things. But you know what? What is it in my life and in your life that we need prevailing prayer? We are just way too comfortable a lot of times. Okay? Is somebody lost? Oh, it can wait. Are you backslidden? Maybe someday I'll get that taken care of. Do you need repentance? Oh, maybe if he'll repent, then I'll repent. No, that's not how it works. Ready? But trials, troubles, and things, we'll take those to God. All right? One guy said this was kind of like Jacob being knighted in the field, all right? And taken to another level. And the truth is, I read it and I want it. I read that and I want that. And you know what the truth is? Ready? I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think you can ever be there if you think you've arrived and you've got some more battles that you're supposed to fight. There's always something we need to prevail in. And so, folks, what's the ending lesson? Ready? Okay. Whenever you're pinned down, whenever you're down in life or trouble comes or whatever, you got to check a few things, okay? Are you in God's will? Are you doing what's right? Those are all good lessons from this whole chapter. But the main two things are this. Ready? There's nothing wrong with a pleading prayer for help. That prayer was good that he prayed the Lord. And this is his answer to prayer, by the way, this moment with the angel. But it's okay to plead with God, but I don't want to spend my whole life just pleading with God to help me when I'm hurting or help me when I have a trial. I want to spend my life going past that and entering this matter of prevailing in prayer, winning the battle. Ready? Look what happened to him. He got the blessing. And he didn't walk away saying, ready? He even named the place. He had a habit of naming everywhere. He didn't walk away and saying, I got my prayers answered. That's not what he did. By the way, listen. Okay? I'm guilty, right? You're guilty. Hey, look what I got answered. Look at all my answered prayers, honey. All right? Well, you know what? That's good. We should give glory to God for answered prayer. We should come to church and say, praise the Lord, answer to prayer. And all the God's people said, because somebody gets saved, that's a thing to rejoice about. But there are things in your life and in my life that if we want to move to the next level, it's not something we ever talk about. Not a lot. That if I said, hey, did you get that prayer answered? You know what the answer should be sometimes? I talk to God. Hey, did you ever get that thing taken care of? I met God. Hey, did you ever get this? I know the Lord's in it. And sometimes that's all that's necessary because that's what Jacob did. He said, here, right here, I met God and I was spared and my life changed. And you know what? That's pretty amazing. As a Christian, hey, this maybe God would answer a few more of our prayers if we'd give the glory back to him. Instead of just pleading for him, how about we focus on this? Next couple days, you ready? I don't want you to just go and turn everything into a prevailing prayer. All right? I don't think it's needed for everything. Okay? Lord, please help me in this. Please help me in that. That's all good. But in the next couple days, before we hit Easter Sunday, before we go through the spring program, are we just going to ignore? Am I going to ignore the junior church out there and not ask for God to prevail in some things? Am I going to pray for somebody's, listen, pray for somebody's salvation. You got a person you know they're not saved? Why don't we ask God to help us prevail in that person's life in the matter of salvation? And you know what that prayer will be? It'll mean a lot more to us. It'll mean a lot more to us. Prevailing in prayer. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Let's pray. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, please help us this morning. Help us this evening. Lord, I need this simple story. There's a lot that could have been said. There's a lot that maybe should have been said. But Lord, very simply, we want to plead with you when it's time. We want to ask you for help when we need it. But Lord, in my life, and no doubt in every Christian in here, there's a thing in our life that we don't see it answered because we won't stick to it. We won't continue in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Help us this week to be righteous folks who pray and bow before you and ask for your blessing tonight on this service. Ask for your blessing this week as we meet folks who need the gospel. Give us a good time at invitation.